You can be seated if you'd like. I don't know what you need from God this morning. Maybe you need the arms of God wrapped around you this morning for whatever reason, whatever you're going through. Or you need some peace or hope. Whatever it is, he's there and available for you. So let's sing this song out.
I'm running to your arms.
day when heaven was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be. Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living, he loved me, dying, he saved me, buried, he carried my sins far away, rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hand that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails from me. Living, he loved me, dying, he saved me, buried, he carried my sins far away, rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death, he had conquered. Now he's ascended, alone. This is probably one of my favorite songs. I know we do it a lot, but I really feel like we need to be reminded of this on a daily basis, that we're welcome at God's table. no matter where we are in our walk with Christ. So you guys know this, sing it out. The song's called The Blessing. We've done it a few times now, but I really wanted to do it again this morning. We haven't done it in a little bit. So if you haven't heard this song, I really feel like this is an anthem for what we need to hear in this day and age, that even sometimes when we, in different situations, we don't always see God's favor because it doesn't look like what we want it to look like. Sometimes it surely does, And he blesses us in ways when we ask for certain things. But there are many times when we look back on it that God's favor was there even though we didn't understand it, right? And we can attest to that. There's many times that we didn't understand what was going on at the time, but he has blessed us in the midst of trial. And this is just a song of blessing over you. And please feel free to sing it out loud and heard. And it's a song that's been on the Christian radio for now for a little while. And I just really love it. So let's sing this out. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Turn his face toward you.
Thanks, Andrew. This morning when I did the first service, I was so cold, I couldn't even flip the pages. So I'm feeling a little bit better. I know, right? I know. Because he'll melt and that'll be the end of that. So good morning. I am so happy to be here with you today to share what God has placed upon my heart. This study of the book of Romans, it's just been amazing to me, and hopefully some of you feel the same way, that it's just opened up in an incredible way. 2 weeks ago, the Sunday after we celebrated Christmas, Andrew covered Romans chapters 10 and 11, and that was all about Israel and Israel's special place in God's heart. Now, he reminded us that we as Gentiles have been grafted in to God's salvation plan, but that we have in no way replaced Israel. And if you want to know where we are in the end times timeline, you need only look to Israel as the super sign or the crucial piece. Watch what's going on in Israel and you'll know where we're at. Then last week, he provided the year in review. And his title slide had two other words on it besides year in review. Does anybody remember what they are? They start with an R. Okay, so you guys have memories just like me. Awesome. So they were reflection and recalibrate. And maybe you didn't notice them then, but I did. And as you may have noticed, I take notes all the time. And there's a reason I take notes. One of my coworkers has a little post-it up that says, "The greatest lie I can tell myself is, I don't have to write that down. I'll remember that." And I live that. That's my whole life. But it's not only because I have a bad memory. I think I write things down because I come to worship expectantly. I expect that either in the scriptures or in the sermon or in something that Allie says when she's introducing a worship song, that there's going to be something for me, that God is going to meet me here. And so I don't want to miss that. I want to be able to note it. I want to be able to read it tonight and then keep it in my heart and carry it with me all this week. So that's why I'm scrawling notes. I am not doing Sudoku or anything like that. Just so you know. So, all that to say, give it a try. Give it a try. Come expecting to hear a word from God, and I promise you, he will never disappoint you. So just to recap last week, Andrew spoke from the first five verses of John 10, and he reminded us that Jesus is the good shepherd, and that we are sheep, called to recognize his voice, and to listen, and to follow, and to have courage. I drove home afterward thinking about that word courage, and just how encouraged I felt. And so my goal today is to continue to build on that encouragement and to move us along our journey of recognizing and listening and following our shepherd. Why this message now? Why is this important? Because I truly believe that we are in the end times. I do. And with that statement, some of you are tempted to just check out. You're going to start your grocery list, plan the rest of the day, maybe play some Candy Crush on your phone. But I beg of you, just hear me out, just for even a few minutes. Just stay with me. John Hagee is an American pastor and the founder of an organization called Christians United for Israel. And this is what he says about the Bible. He says, "Only the Almighty, in his infinite capacity, can inspire the compiled writings of 66 books that were penned on three continents in three different languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. The Holy Scriptures were chronicled by approximately 40 people of diverse education and backgrounds, including kings, shepherds, scientists, attorneys, an army general, fishermen, priests, and a physician, most of whom never met. This sacred masterpiece was written over a period of about 1,400 years, covering over 4,000 years of human history. There are 1,239 prophecies found in the Old Testament and 578 prophecies in the New, for a total of 1,817, which comprise 8,352 verses. And we're going to go over them all today. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I just wanted to make sure you were awake. So here's the point. If you ignore prophecy, you have to discard approximately one quarter of the Bible. Do you want to do that? You know what Bible stands for, right? Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. Okay, a little one told me that, and I love it because it's really actually a great summary. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Do you want to skip over 25% of those instructions? Do we do that for anything else? When you go to make a cake, do you just go, okay, I'll do steps 1, 2, and 3, but not 4, and then I'll do 5 and 6, but not 7? We don't do that. And when you get a new piece of equipment or a piece of furniture or something, and it's in your house, and you open up the box, okay, never mind. You probably are like my husband, because my experience is, when we get something new, he has the instructions, he does do maybe 3 out of 4, right? And then when things are totally a mess, then he'll go back and he'll take those instructions and then it'll be all good. But first, he has to try it his way. And that's kind of the Christian life for many of us. We try to do it our way, and then when everything is pretty sad, we pick up the basic instructions. Here's my point. If we need reassurance that God is still in control, as we look around the world today, we need to take some time to read our Bibles. Seriously, if you read this, you'll find out that there are no surprises. Things are all falling into place, just as God has told us. I want you to consider Matthew chapter 24. And he writes, "And as he," that's Jesus, "was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will mislead many people. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. And because lawlessness has increased, most people's love will become cold. But the one who endures to the end is the one who will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come." Do those conditions sound the least bit familiar to us today? Earthquakes, famines, lawlessness, wars and rumors of wars. My goodness, the Bible, it's like having a playbook. And don't miss verse 8. These events are like birth pains. They're not going to stop, not till the babies come. In fact, like birth pains, they're going to increase in frequency and intensity. Things aren't going to slow down. Read the news and see how many floods are happening. How many raging forest fires, the locusts in Africa, terrorist attacks, protests, crime, evil being called good and good being called evil. My husband had to suggest that I stop watching the news for a while because it was having a horrible effect on me. I've been treated for depression for years and it was just getting worse. I couldn't find peace. Maybe someone here started to feel like that too. Scary, isn't it? It's scary. And it was for me. But it shouldn't be. See, these times aren't filled with fear for those who are saved. Because we have been told what to expect, and we know exactly who is in control, God's got this, and God's got us. He is not surprised by anything that is happening today. The point was, I had to get back to the Word. I had been allowing my quiet time and study to get squeezed out of my day. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. You know, people have been wishing me a Happy New Year. And it isn't uncommon for them to tag on to the end of their statement something like, Happy New Year, because it certainly can't be worse than 2020. Well, I hate to burst your bubble there, but I have it from higher authority that it's probably going to get worse. And now you want to leave. I understand. And you're saying, Tracy, wow, that is such an uplifting message. Thanks. Now you know what it's like to live with depression. No. That's not it. Here's the real bottom line for you to remember. It'll be okay. Read to the end. In the end, we win. We know how this story ends. There's no surprises. In Billy Graham's book, The Reason for My Hope, which was published in 2013, he wrote, "What a time to take the news of the day in one hand and the Bible in the other and watch the unfolding of the great drama of the ages come together. This is an exciting and thrilling time to be alive. It is not just Christians that sense something is about to happen. The world knows that things cannot go on as they are. History has reached an impasse. This world is on a collision course. Something is about to give. With increasing frequency, commentators from secular media speak of Armageddon." He wrote that, or at least it was published, in 2013. And if that's the truth, then the question for us today is, how should we live? How do we live in light of this? Well, that's my introduction. I'm glad you asked. We're going to turn to Romans 12. Verse 1. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." A living and holy sacrifice. Sacrifice was important in the Old Testament. An animal had to be killed, it had to be cut into pieces, and it had to be placed on the altar as an act to atone for sin, to get us in right standing with God once again. But in Romans 12, Paul's letting us know that we are to be a living and holy sacrifice. Paul tells us that this is true worship. This is what true worship looks like, us being a living and holy sacrifice. And there are many scriptures that present this theme that obedience is better than sacrifice. If anybody else is a note taker, 1 Samuel 15:22, Psalm 40, verse 6, Amos 5, 21 to 24. I won't read all of them. See, it's not enough to go through the motions, to attend church or to tithe or to volunteer, if our hearts aren't right, if our motivations are impure. If we shouldn't tithe if it's just to get a tax exemption or so that we can try to gain influence in the church. We shouldn't come on Sundays if it's not about worshiping the one true God, if it's maybe to meet up with people you can't meet with because of restrictions or to have perfect attendance. You see, we should be coming to seek to praise him, to worship him, to thank him, to offer ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice. And what about that second word that I just skimmed over, holy? Now there's a challenge. If something is set aside, if something is holy, it is to be set aside for sacred use. We are to be set aside for God's use, for his purposes. We're called to be holy because God is holy and we are made in his image. His desire is for us to be like him. And here is the really good news. The expectation is that we do not have to do this alone. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He will purify us from all unrighteousness. And please make no mistake, living a holy life is not a method for us to attempt to earn our salvation. That's not what I'm saying. We cannot earn salvation. We are saved by God's grace alone. But when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that enables us to live holy. We all sin. And being saved doesn't mean that all the sins stop. But the important thing is to confess our sins, to ask for God's forgiveness, and to keep going. Paul goes on to tell us that we are not to be conformed to this world, and that can be a challenge. The world seems to scream of survival of the fittest, he who has the most stuff wins, do whatever it takes to make it to the top, regardless of who you hurt. We are immersed in a world, and its standards and expectations are so much lower than our Father in heaven. We're called to try to live out a holy life in a wicked and sin-filled world. What do? We counteract that immersion in that awful world with the immersion in his word. You can't be equipped to be a living and holy sacrifice if you don't know what that looks like. And you can't look at the world to show you. The only place to find that is in his presence and in his word. Continue on in verse 3. Paul writes, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Many fool themselves into believing that they're better than they really are. What do I mean by that? Well, some people believe they're not sinners. They do not sin. And that's a lie that Satan would love for us to accept. Because if you don't sin, you don't need a Savior, do you? In Romans chapter 3, which was many months ago, verse 10 tells us that no one is righteous, not even one. And verse 23 tells us the reason is because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Sure, we can be good people sometimes, but good isn't good enough. You can't good yourself into heaven. Our eternal destiny has nothing to do with what we've done and everything to do with what Christ has done for us. We can't earn heaven. It's our faith that matters, our relationship with the living God. So we can't put him last. Verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. We are really, really blessed here. We have talented and gifted musicians and vocalists. Our leaders are gifted preachers of God's word, and they offer godly counsel. We have dedicated teachers and tellers and greeters and cleaners, and the list goes on. There are so many gifts in this place, and we are so blessed that people are using them. We are called to do what we are gifted to do and to do it gladly. And you might think, well, Tracy, I don't know what my gift is. Pray. Pray. If you pray for God to reveal the gift that you have, I assure you somebody's going to ask you to volunteer for something or to do something. And that may be all the confirmation you need that that's what you have as a gift. But don't pray if you're not going to use it. Just a warning. I'm going to start at verse 9. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Wow, that's a toughie. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Why do we love others? Because they are image bearers of God. For no other reason. Do they fall short? Yep, so do I. Are they less than perfect? Yeah, so am I. And so are they. Instead of seeing people as what they're not, understand that the only thing that really matters is that they may not be saved. In the grand scheme of things, that's all that matters. Do you remember the two words? Oh. Oh. Reflect and recalibrate. Okay. This is a good place for us to start in 2021. Reflect on your last year and those things you did well, but also on those things that you wish you had done differently, especially when it comes to how you lived. Were you loving and holy? Were you patient? Did you shine his light wherever you went? And after reflecting, recalibrate. How are you going to do things differently? How will you be salt and light to a bland and dark world? The rest of chapter 12 is all about our response to evil. I'll leave that for you to read, but hear this last word. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. I had this played out for me by an 8-year-old when I was in Trenton. She was being bullied by a boy at school, and he was making her life unbearable. And every Sunday she would come to church and she would be in tears. The school year ended and she was relieved to be free of him for the summer. But as things go, when school started up again in the fall, weren't they in the same class all over again? She came home crying that first day, and for weeks she struggled with it. But then one Sunday she came to church and there were no tears. And she told me that things were really good. I asked her what had happened, and she told me that she decided that the reason that little boy was making her so unhappy was because he was so unhappy. So one morning, as she was walking up to her desk at the front of the class, she passed by his desk, put a candy bar on his desk, and just kept on going. She didn't even look at him. He was floored. He couldn't believe she had paid any attention to what he liked. And certainly he didn't expect to receive it as a gift from her, from the girl that he tormented. But by seeing him as just another kid who was making bad choices, she was able to find a way to connect positively with him. She conquered evil by doing good. And that's what we are called to do. We're all in a bit of a pressure cooker right now as this COVID thing continues. We're locked up in our houses. We can't socialize with the people we love. It's nobody, well, take it from me. In the grocery store right now, there are not a lot of people that are acting really great, okay? People are getting frustrated. They're getting angry. They're acting out. And I choose to believe that it's not because of who they are. It's because of the situation. Jesus says, in this world, we will have much trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. My final thought. Time is short. If you believe we're in the end times as I do, now is the time to accept Jesus if you never have. Now is the time to make things right with God. Don't delay. It's as easy as ABC. My friends, we're dealing with life and death here for all eternity. The stakes have never been higher, and the opportunity never greater in this period of human history. What are the ABCs of salvation? It's just a simple, childlike explanation of salvation. The A, admit. Admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Acknowledge your sin. As I've already said, Romans 3:10 says there's no one righteous, not even one. And 3:23 tells us why. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages for our sin, what we deserve, is death. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift that we can receive. We don't pay for it. He did. In full already. And it cost him everything. He paid in full the price and purchased us with his blood. And he offers to us this gift, the gift of eternal life. A, admit. B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And then lastly, the C, for call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10:9-10 also says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the reason for it is in verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And lastly, Romans 10:13. All who call upon the Lord will be saved. It's that simple. Our hearts should go out for people that don't know Christ right now, because the end is indeed near. Our hearts should be burdened for those we love, for our friends and family members that don't know Christ yet. There is still time, we can hope. But now is the time to share the ABCs of salvation with someone else, because we're going home. I don't want to go home alone. And I don't want to go home looking into somebody else's eyes knowing that I had a chance to tell them how to go home with us. That's it. It's 2021. Why not start this year with Jesus or introduce someone you love to him? Let us pray. Father God, we are humbled that you would do so much for the likes of us. Help us to follow after you. Help us to offer our lives as a living and holy sacrifice. Go with us. Allow your Holy Spirit to indwell us and shine through that we might show others the peace that we know. Encourage us, Father God, in this world that is just crazy. Let us be a source of peace and courage to others. And bless us as we go out of this place this morning with your presence and your reassurance of your love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a super week.